Giving thanks, or to give thanks, that's Thanksgiving. You know, many people forget to really be thankful as to who we're supposed to give thanks to, though. It's wonderful to give thanks to your friends, your family, because they deserve it. But your Heavenly Father is who we give thanks really to. When Jesus performed miracles, for example, when he fed the multitude, he gathered them in groups of 50. Pentecost, that's what the word is in the Greek. And he put them in groups of 50 orderly, set them down. And then what did he do? He gave thanks to our Father. You always, if you're expecting an answer, if you're expecting blessings, then you'd better thank him. The word thanksgiving is tuda in the Hebrew tongue. You know what it means? It comes from the pun yada, which is outreached hands praising God. Okay. Looking up to the Father. That's the etymology of the word. Okay. Used to be, what it really means is opening your hands is symbolic of opening your heart, opening your mind to our Heavenly Father. Because what he has done for us, especially if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can never thank him enough for having blessed you and having the privilege of using you in his service, in his way, whereby you are his and he certainly is yours. You are never alone with him. He has declared in the great book of Hebrews, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That in itself is enough to say thank you. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Psalms, and we're going to take Psalms 136, where we have the word yada used many times. Thanks, give thanks. You give thanks to who? Chapter 136, the great Psalm 136, and verse 1, and it reads, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Who is it we're to give thanks to? Yada. Give thanks to the Lord. That's Yahweh in the Hebrew tongue. For he is good. Don't ever try to tag anything else on him. He is always good. And don't you dare ever say, what kind of burden has God given me today? Because God doesn't give burdens. You bring them on yourself. As a matter of fact, in Jeremiah 23, he swears, if you say, what burden has God given me, I'll lower the boom on you. I'll let your own burdens weigh you down. So God is good. And his whole plan overall is just and is justifiable to those that you always get what you deserve, and you bring it down on your own head by not listening to his word and perhaps not giving thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Forever is in the Hebrew tongue is olam, and it just doesn't mean like we do in English, ever. It means before the foundations of the earth to the very end. It means always, forever, always has been, always will be. His mercy, it means favor. And in many places, unmerited favor when you thank him and repent. He favors you when you don't really deserve it. But on repenting and the blood on the cross, you become clean. And therefore you receive the unmerited favor. But again, what is it you don't want to leave out of the equation? And this is important. Thanks. To be thankful to him and let him know that you appreciate him. And give thanks for what you have. And for that mercy, unmerited favor that he blesses you with. And then open your heart and mind and be ready to receive His love, His leadership, and where He utilizes you in this world today, in these troubled times, as a witness, as a person that is a Christ man, which is to say Christian, that doesn't falter, doesn't wave, isn't flip-flopping all the time, but is straight on, is a servant of the living God, can-do type person. Why? Because they give thanks to God, and He is good, and He, His favor has been with us, not today, and not the rest of the time, but even before the beginning, He has always been that way. You can count on Him. Therefore, He is worthy of receiving the thanks that you give Him. Verse 2, oh, give thanks unto God, the God of gods. He's the only one. Okay. For His mercy endureth forever. There again, that favor, that unmerited favor is always there. It's there for you when you give thanks and serve Him. Verse 3, oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. And there you see His titles, His offices, and the fact that He is of all. Verse 4, to Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. You want a great wonder to happen to you? You want a prayer answered that's really reaching for it? A healing, whatever it may be? Then He performs wonders when in His unmerited favor, when He has a purpose for it. He uses us in a place whereby we can do Him the most good, and always doing that. Look at Job as an example. Many might say, well, Job loved Him, never wavered, but look what happened to Job. God used Job to show you how to cut it. That regardless of what, Satan can buffet you, but don't you lose faith in Almighty God. Because He will always be with you. He doubled Job's portion, which is a first fruit offering, or what God's elect receive in serving Him. You know, we live in perilous times, much trouble in the world. Strange thing going to happen in spring. The crown, which was worn by King James, who brought forth this word of God, is going to visit the, we'll call it colony, no longer a colony, but where Thanksgiving was first given in this great nation by the pilgrims that came over to bring forth. What a fantastic thing, and how meaningful that crown would visit this place, which is so blessed and is blessed of God. The superpower of all powers, in especially these end times, especially in these troubled times. So give thanks. Keep your eyes open. Don't bury your head in the sand. Observe what's happening. There's a meaning and a reason for it. So be alert. Those wonders are performed by Him for the purpose of all. You know, I'll just insert something. I don't know, maybe somebody needs this. It wasn't planned. But God blesses people that ask for others. Okay, not necessarily self, okay, but not selfishly. If you ask something selfishly just for yourself, He'll smile and say, there's that spoiled brat again. Only thinks of themselves. You know, we are placed here as a witness for many people to express ourselves and set an example and ask for our people, give thanks for our people, that they see truth. You see, you are blessed above all if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. And some are in darkness. And that's your purpose, you know, not just self. So think about that. That's why wonders happen is when you ask especially for others. Verse 5. To him that by wisdom, by what? By wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. He made the good place, the place you want to go to, which is wherever he is. Okay. Wherever God is, that is heaven. Ultimately, it's right here on earth. Revelation chapter 21 declares that. But by wisdom, by knowledge, by understanding, he made this. And he made it for who? For you. For his children. Verse 6. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. Actually, this has somewhat to do with the overthrow in the beginning. That is to say, Satan's overthrow, when he stretched it out and it became dark. What did you do then? To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. Sun and the moon, for seasons, for signs, whereby you could know and understand what's going down, what's happening. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And the sun and days is symbolic of God's children, for they are children of light. Satan is the prince of darkness. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Always reminding you, he's not part-time. He's forever, and that means from day one coming out the gate to the very end. This is why it's difficult. As a matter of fact, the great verse that is often quoted, John 3:16, God so loved the world he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe upon him should never die, but would have everlasting. That means from they would have life from the day they were created in the first earth age, all the way on through, right to the very end and end of eternity, without ceasing. That's important to know. He's with us always and forever. That's so even in the moon, in the darkness, we have him with us. We have him in us. You don't have anything to fear other than fear itself. And usually that's brought on by ignorance. And wisdom from God's word, always gives you comfort and light. Verse 10, to him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. In other words, he freed the people. He didn't destroy Egypt. He promised Egypt there would always be a base nation, and they still are to this day. Never have ceased existing. Base means small. They were never a superpower, but he did give them that. And he freed our people. Let's go now to the New Testament, if we may, the book of St. John. I want to go to chapter 11. And St. John chapter 11. You're going to see an example here of Christ working. Christ's going to perform a miracle. He's going to bring Lazarus back to life. Now, Lazarus in the Greek is the equivalent of the Hebrew Eleazar. This is a deeper meaning in this bringing Lazarus back to life. Who was Eleazar? Eleazar was the third son of Aaron, which means the priesthood of priesthoods. And what he's doing here is also bringing the true priesthood back into life. Okay. Raising it so that you could see the true priesthood never dies. That mantle is always worn by someone. That truth of our people can go forth, that eyes can be opened and ears to hear the very word of God, the truth, the in-depth truth. So, when he brings Lazarus back to life, Lazarus being the equivalent of the Hebrew Eleazar, he brings forth that priesthood, meaning it's time. Why? Christ was about to pay the price that your sins, that favor that unmerited favor when you don't really deserve it on pleading the blood, you can live. And also, through that priesthood of Aaron, the Word of God, the priest of priests, you can learn the truth. And the truth will absolutely set you free from the anxieties of this world. Because that truth is always there, and our Father placed it whereby we can see. But here we have that event, and that's what this is about. That's why we're going here. Verse 39, how did Christ handle this? Verse 39 of St. John chapter 11. Jesus said, and you know, they said, Lord, he's dead. If you'd have been here, he'd still be alive. And what does Jesus say to the two sisters? Jesus said, take ye away the stone. This was at the gravesite. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. It's been 4 days. And he has been dead 4 days. Well, she says it. You know, literally, if they've been dead 4 days, that's it. They never come back, all right? That's, you're considered dead then. Verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? In other words, if you believe, you see and understand life. God is not the God of the dead. When the flesh dies, you don't. When the flesh dies, your real self, your spiritual body, instantly goes back to the Father that gave it. And you can, with faith and understanding, you know that. We don't put anyone out here in a hole in the ground. We only put the organic matter that the mother and they consumed in their life here on earth. That God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Isaac and Abraham, many times, who did Lazarus see when he was transported to heaven? Not this Lazarus, a different one, Lazarus and the rich man, remember? He saw Abraham. Well, Abraham's dead. No, just his flesh. Because Abraham is with the Father. Documenting that, okay? So, that would be Christ's words here, you know? If you believe. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. There's that word again, giving thanks. I want something great to happen here, so I've got to thank the Father. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now, Jesus knew he did, but he was saying it for the benefit of those around. Listen, 42. And I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it. They've got to learn. Okay. That they may believe that thou hast sent me. It's my credentials that we're going to perform this miracle. But he gave thanks to the Father. Always give thanks to him, beloved, if you want an answer. You know? I mean, how about you? When you really knock yourself out to do something for somebody, do you expect thanks? How do you feel if they just say, and go? Not a word, just walk away. Got mine, to heck with you. It's much better when they said, I really do appreciate this. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping me through this situation. Well, how do you think? Our Father has emotions and feelings. And if he's going to do something for you, he usually likes thanks in advance. Do you know why he likes thanks in advance? Because it documents that you believe. You're thanking him for something that hadn't happened yet because you have the faith to know it's going to happen according to his will. That documents that you're a Christian. That documents that you're a believer. And that's what he's talking about here. But again, he thanked the Father. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! Do you know how Lazarus came forth? Listen to this. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, I want you, how do you think you could walk if you were bound up like a mummy, okay, your feet laced together and your hands, how are you going to walk? Answer, you can't. He came forth how? By the grace of God, the power of God, the miracle. Okay. And that in itself documents the miracle. If you know what would have happened if he had put off the grave clothes and come hiking out of there? A lot of people say, he never died. They're putting one over on us. Absolutely trying to fool us. But he floated out of there. Floated. Now, handle that if you would. How did they fake that? They didn't, okay. They documented. When he said, Lazarus, come forth. 4 days dead. Initially, as stated, if you're a believer, you know no one. The spiritual body never dies. Now, there is a time that some spiritual bodies are going to be put in a certain place. And it's called non-existent. It's called hell, quite frankly. But that's not yet. That's at the end of the millennium. Got a long ways to go and a lot of people to save, and Christ is in the saving business. He did not destroy the Egyptians, but he saved Israel. Okay. Because again, you know, a lot of people say, well, he killed a bunch of them. He blessed them. Always they would be a base nation. And as I've stated, they still are. You know, there are a lot of, this United States of America is only 200 and something years old. That's not very, that's young. Okay. Well, but look what has happened in that 200 and, what is it, about 20, 30 years, somewhere along in there. And look what all has happened, and it became the superpower. Do you think that's an accident? Or do you think in God we trust? Okay, let's go to Colossians, if we may. Great book of Colossians. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 2. Always thank your Father. That is to say, open your heart and your mind. The etymology of it being to reach out your hands. But really, that's where the handshake comes from. But it has nothing to do with tudah, which is, or nada, which is to say, worshiping God. Chapter 2, a great book of Colossians. And it states, for I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, that's to say justice of the people, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I have a bird. He wanted to get the truth out that as many as could hear and make their own mind up, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and into all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Not everybody receives that mystery of God. Do you know how few people know there was an earth age before this? Do you know, I've had some very educated people come up and when they hear of my work, the three earth ages, really well-educated people come up and say, where are you getting that? I've never heard a preacher teach that. And I said, you probably won't. But you'll hear a scholar teach it. Because why? That's what the Word states. And it's very simple and very clear. But there are not all that many people that understand the mystery of what happened in that first earth age that caused us to be here today. That we have work to do. We have thanks to give. thanks to our Father that He has arranged this, whereby that mystery with understanding can be shared with eyes that cannot see spiritually and ears that cannot hear spiritually the real truth of God's Word. Verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Only in Him. Where is that hidden? In God? In the truth? That's why you want to thank Him. That's why He's precious. And that's why you can count on Him. Verse 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. In other words, you want to be real careful because there are some out there that will mislead you. There's false teachers. Well, how do I know a false teacher? If they're not teaching God's Word, chapter by chapter and verse by verse in many cases. If you haven't been taken through the God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, then probably you've skipped around so much that you're skippy. You know what? Have you ever seen an old rock that skips? Never actually, you know, just skippy, skippy, skippy. And they know nothing. Oh, they can quote a verse here and they can quote a verse there. So far out of context that it won't stretch even, okay? That's sad. And they will beguile you because they will say, do you love Jesus? Well, of course I do. But do you know the truth? Well, what's that? So you've got all kinds of people out there, and many of them would beguile you or deceive you if they could. How many people teach that there's a false Christ coming first and that He's supernatural? Not too many. And you know what? It's true. In the mystery of God, He states it. Not maybe, not perhaps. Christ teaches right plain out where anyone can read it in three different books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And even in John, I should say four. That the false one comes first. He didn't say, maybe the Antichrist will come. Maybe the false Christ will come. He said, He will come. And He's going to deceive as many as will follow Him. So, if you understand that, you want to thank God. Because you're not going to be beguiled. You're not going to be deceived. You know, Christ expects a virgin bride when He returns. How many of these people are going to jump in the sack with that fake Antichrist thinking He is Jesus? And then expect Christ to take them? As a virgin bride? I don't think so. And Christ puts it exactly in that way in Mark 13 when He says, woe to those that are His child when I return. He wasn't talking about a mother carrying a child in her womb. He was talking about somebody spiritually impregnated with the mark of the beast in their forehead, their brain, deceived, beguiled. It's that simple. That He brings forth that truth in the very mystery. Don't let someone beguile you, for there are many beguilers in the world today. Well-intentioned, good old boys, well-meaning. The Word of God is the Word of God, and the traditions of men are the traditions of men. And you better know the difference. Verse 5, Paul continues. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. It had been reported back to him how well they were doing. 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In your daily life, you stay in that light. You stay in that truth, the simplicity in which Christ teaches. 7, rooted and built up in Him. Built up, that's the only way you can build yourself up. That's the only way you can come to truth, is in Him. Why? Because He is the truth. And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's that word again. Underline it. Thanksgiving. What does that mean? Giving thanks. Thanks to who? What's the etymology of the word? Opening your heart and mind to Almighty God. And you want to remember that. He loves it. He appreciates it. And He'll reach down and He'll touch you when you give that thanks to Him for what He has done for you, giving you knowledge and wisdom and understanding whereby you can't be had by sillies of this world. 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This word rudiments, stakion in the Greek, means the elements, the bad elements. Everything is bad. That's what's burned up in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. It said the world, the elements of the world melt. Well, that word elements is the same as rudiments, and it means only the bad melts. This earth is not going to be destroyed. Only the bad. Only the things that don't apply to God's plan will He destroy. You know, you, as an example, could stand right in the middle of God's wrath. But you see, He's not mad at you. So it wouldn't even singe a hair on your head. Because He loves you. He would never harm you. So, stay away from the rudiments of the world. And stay in Christ. Build yourself up. Giving what? Thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving is about. Outstretched hands up to God, praising Him, meaning an open mind and heart to your Heavenly Father. Verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You got that? Grab it. This is why he would say, Jesus, name Him Emmanuel. Being translated means what? God with us. Okay. If Christ is with you, God is with you. Grasp it. The full Godhead. Okay? Bodily. And verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Do you understand why in Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, He could give you power over all your enemies? That includes Satan. Okay. But in the name of Christ, you have power over all your enemies if you believe and if you exercise the authority that He's given you. Why? Because He is head of all principalities, even in heaven, even in high places. And, you know, a lady asked me the other day that just heard I was a teacher. She said, Ken, her husband had left her for his secretary. He was a preacher. Okay? And she wanted to know if a devil and a bad evil spirit could, I'm not going to tell you her name. Okay? If an evil spirit could enter a Christian, and I said, only if they let it. And that wowed her. She said, only if they allow it. That is awesome. But it's true. It's very true. You can let it. Why? Hey, Satan would like to have you. I mean, you're one of God's elect. You think he wouldn't love to have you? Why do you think he works so hard on you? Because you can do him harm. You actually have power over him. But if he can con you, he'd love to have you in his camp. That eliminates one of God's elect. If you don't have ears to hear and if you don't understand what I said, put it on the shelf, okay? But that's what God does. He's the head of all principalities and powers. And and again, in Luke 10, he shares that with you, okay? Now, one more verse, 11, in this book. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So, therefore, circumcision is no longer a spiritual thing. And it happens to both men and women. It's the circumcision of the heart for Christ. That you declare, you believe, that you know. That's, and it follows on, we're not going to go there, and it goes into, by baptism, you share his death with him even. But, and you share those things, but you put on Christ and walk in him. No one can deceive you or beguile you if you stick with God's word. When somebody begins to tell you things, that, ask them, document that. And they'll say, oh, well, I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it's there. Well, then don't teach it if you don't know where it's at. You're a false teacher if you can't document what you're saying. Okay. Do your homework. Be prepared. Have that answer. Be a guide of people. And know and understand. Now, that's not that everybody has to remember every word. But that, I'm talking about somebody that goes out teaching. And that's not just discussing the Bible. Nobody can remember. I don't want to put somebody on a guilt trip. That's why I'm throwing a little dust on this, kind of cool it down a little bit. I don't want people to be afraid to share. Now, I'm talking about people that go out and teach and won't tell you what they're document what they're teaching. You better know and understand. That's as bad as some of these preachers that will tell you, you don't have to understand the book of Revelation. We're not supposed to know. Well, pray tell me this. If the word revelation in whatever language you use to translate it means to unveil, to make known, then where does this come from? Deception. False teaching. And people misleading the blind, those that can't see spiritually. So you want to be very careful. Again, back to verse 7, what did it say? Thanksgiving. Thanking God. Listen, don't leave God out of the equation. Why? Because he's the power. And when you thank him, that documents to him that you are a believer. Now, in closing, chapter 11, the great book of Revelation. We're going to go all the way to the seventh trump. What happens at the seventh trump? That's when Christ returns. That's after the Antichrist has been here. That's after the two witnesses have witnessed. That's after God's elect have been delivered up. And, I mean, Christ has returned, and he's taken over. Everything's going to be put in order. And let's go with chapter 11, the great book of Revelation. Let's pick it up in verse 15. I'm sorry, I'm in 12 here. That won't work. I read, and Satan was cast water out on earth, and I thought, that's not right. 17 of chapter 11 rather than 12. Okay. 17 of chapter 11 reads, saying, I'm sorry, I want verse 15. Verse 15, I'm going to say it all over again. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded. That's where I wanted to get to. And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's what we look forward to, okay? And he shall reign forever and ever. I mean, he will never leave this earth again. He will establish his kingdom, just as in Ezekiel chapter 16, he made a covenant with Mount Zion, and he'll never leave it again, as far as his headquarters. 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God. They did what? They worshiped God. He's the one that brought it to pass. He's the one that sounded that seventh trump. He's the one that straightened things out. He's the one you want to worship today. 17, saying, we give thee thanks. There's that word again. First thing out of the box, giving thanks. I don't want you to forget that. If you want your prayers answered, if you want to communicate with Almighty God, you've got to give him thanks for what he's done for us in the past, the present, and the future. Saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned, and he will reign from that time on. Two more verses. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time is dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. You know who the saints are? The ones that have the truth. It simply means set aside ones, ones not beguiled, ones not deceived, ones that have the truth. You got a reward coming, okay? And to them that fear thy name, revere thy name, love thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That corruption will be gone forever. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. That's the ark of the covenant. Where is it? It's in heaven. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. And so it is that my point being, even at the very end, even after the seventh trump, the 24 elders, which are no doubt the 12 patriarchs and 12 apostles, giving thanks, even at the end, to who? To Almighty God, to our Father, who is head of all principalities and gives you authority and wisdom to know and to understand his very word. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Father, for the truth. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us that word, Father, as your guide to us today, as your communication to us, directly to our hearts and minds. Be with us. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.